Welcome to WebEx.
Good morning, this is Chris Walker with The Core. Can folks hear me on the line?
I got you, Chris.
Perfect.
Yes.
And the screen's coming through? Perfect.
I don't see the agenda.
There we go. Okay. We will go ahead and get started with a roll. Nathan, want to take this on?
Last two digits are 19. That was like Dan Peck. of ODFMW.
Correct.
On a salary entry. Writing these down. And also 541 ending in 13. I don't have a name for that.
That's Tim Jaffrey. This is Corey, senior tech here.
Corey, I talked over you. Where are you working at?
Mackenzie Hatchery.
Thank you. All right, Chris. That should do it. Back to you.
Thanks, Nathan. Yeah, we'll start off with any agenda updates from folks. All right.
Hey, Chris?
Yes.
It's Rachel here. I was wondering if we could just, like, very quickly for a minute or two add to the agenda. I'm interested in trying to get the 2020 FMEP report from ODFW. So just if we can spare a few minutes for that, that would be great.
Yeah, let's go ahead and address that now.
So basically my interest is in helping our EIS modeling team put together their modeling components, and although they have most of the FMEP reports, I was wondering if there was a 2020 out yet.
Hey, Rachel, this is Kelly. I will look online. I know Rich has requested those in the past, and they're typically updated on our website. So I'll dig around and see if I can find that for you.
Great, thank you.
All right, anything else on the agenda we need to talk about that's not on there? Okay, moving on. In regards to May meeting minutes, did receive comments from ODFW. Mostly editorial, but also making sure that our notes are accurate. So those will be incorporated. Didn't know if other folks wanted to comment. Otherwise, we will finalize those. All right, moving on to the only action item we had, which was from our April WFPOM meeting in regards to pumps at Minto. I didn't see Todd on. I don't know if he is. Let me look really quick. Or Greg Taylor.
Yeah, the update from Minto is the Detroit crew is down there today working, so we'll hopefully have the new pump swapped over and the impellers changed out on the other ones. So hopefully that'll be done this week.
Thank you for that. All right, since Greg, just continue with the North Stadium updates at Marion Forks and Minto, if you could.
Okie doke. Yeah, everything up at Marion Forks is going well. All the fish are on size. We're going to plan on starting marking after 4th of July. We got the two weirs in Horn Creek and the big weir in on Marion Creek, and we outplanted 12 pairs into Horn Creek, and then 208 Chinook into the North Stadium. So we started the outplanting of Chinook this week. Everything's going well with that. The outplant site at the log deck, we just had to cut a little bit of the birch trees out of the way and some debris, but it looks good. But yeah, everything up at Marion Forks is doing well. Down at Minto, like I said, the Detroit crew is working down there today. They'll also be cleaning the screens this afternoon. I believe this will be the fourth cleaning since our last meeting. This last cleaning lasted about a week before it started plugging, but it's still an issue, and hopefully the visit by some of the construction crews are going to come up with a permanent fix for that. So we hope to go back to pull AWS today. We're down two of the four gates currently. Everything else is going well. Couple of concerns as far as the maintenance activities. One of the Fish and Wildlife pumps was taken into service. Generally, all five of those are done every other year as their hours need. Currently, only one has been done this year, which is concerning to us that they're not getting serviced on a regular basis like they have in the past. And then the other concern we had is a crane inspection last week. A contractor came out. It sounded like the inspection last year was actually done from the ground. They didn't actually even go up and look at the cranes themselves. They did the inspection from the ground, which is very concerning to us when we're working on those, that they're not getting properly inspected. The inspector was pretty disappointed in the design. He said those aren't really designed for that, what they're being used for, and being out in the weather all year round, he was very concerned with them. He was also concerned that this tank would only take the single brake and clutch, which is kind of a concern we've had all along. We had the brake failure a couple of years ago. Sounds like the Foster crane also had a failure last year, which is pretty concerning to us working underneath those. That's what I have.
Thanks, Greg. All right. Any questions for Greg? Just taking some notes down. All right, let's move on to South San Diem. Brett?
Yeah, here at the hatchery, fish health good. Both stocks are meeting size goals, looking really good. We've just been kind of, filling our time in, doing some pond maintenance. We've been doing a lot of crack sealing and, just trying to take advantage of the time when those ponds are empty. Other than that, just some normal ground maintenance around here and some general cleanup. Things are starting to pick up a little bit at the, we're across the river at the adult facility. Steelhead numbers are still really low. We've only got 61 back so far. We're receiving fish from other facilities in hopes that that will help us at least get close to brood goals. We've got 91 from other facilities to date. We've been receiving some fish from Willamette, or from Dexter, some Willamette stock that we're going to be holding. Got the last load of those. We got the last load of those today, actually. So should be right around 600 pairs we'll hold over there, and then we'll spawn along with the Willamette crew this fall. Our Chinook numbers have been fairly steady. We've got 1,181 hatchery fish, getting a lot of smaller males. We've had 947 males, 234 females. We're using those surplus males to meet tribal allocations. We should finish up the Celeste allocation next week, and the Grand Ron tribe is done between us, and Big Creek gave them some fish as well to get them there, the 4,000 pounds. The only thing that's kind of disconcerting is they're kind of concerned about a little bit is the low numbers of unmarked fish. We've only had, out of almost 1,200 fish, we've only had 14 unmarked fish so far, and out of those 14, only three have been females, so definitely low numbers there. Yeah, and we're just keeping all the hatchery females for brood and matching them with males. And then we've been working with Foster staff. We had a few little maintenance issues, but got those kind of taken care of. Had some treatment valves needed switched around, a sticking crowder. And then they replaced some damaged and leaking airlines and valves for us. So everything's been going good on that note. And that's about it.
All right, thanks. I just had a question. Did fish collection seem to pick up when we started spilling through the weir?
Say that again, when you started what?
When we started spilling through the weir?
Yeah.
Okay.
You did that, started that this week, right?
Yeah, on the 16th. I think we were supposed to do it on the 16th.
No, I was off and I didn't see that email. So why is that to try to get fish up here, or was that for juveniles?
It's for adults.
It's for adults. Oh, okay. Yeah, and I saw you bump the flows up today too. I didn't know what that was for, temperatures in the Willamette or what that was for. It seems like we haven't seen any big difference. The fish, I think, you know, you're putting a lot of hot surface water off that side, so it just basically kind of, the fish have kind of moved over in front of the turbine outlets and from the main entrance. So they're kind of hanging out there. And then from what I've seen, I've been kind of watching it. The river temperature is only a few degrees off the ladder temperature. So I think that's what's helping us out, that those fish are still wanting to come into the ladder. But there's quite a few fish sitting down below the main entrance. But we're just kind of getting a couple hundred, you know, several hundred a week.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Brett, this is Ryan. Just to follow up on Chris's question, and correct me if I'm wrong, Brett, but from what I thought I heard from you when we talked earlier in the week, that it looked like when the surface spill from the weir was occurring, the ladder and river temperature differential was greater and fish movement slowed noticeably. Is that?
Yeah, if that occurs, I haven't seen that yet. They obviously still have some turbine flow, you know, because it's keeping the river fairly cold. It's only getting up to like 53 at the high in the last couple of days, you know, I think with the overcast, whatever, maybe the increased flow from the turbines, it's been, you know, 51, 52. So, and then the ladder temperature is, you know, right around between 48 and 49. So I think with just a couple of degrees temperature difference there, but, you know, I know, like I said, in years past, I have seen where if you get, you know, 4 or 5 degree temperature difference, then that does slow things down. They'll hold out in front of the ladder entrance, but they definitely will kind of hold on that. Must be that cold water line from that cold water coming out of the ladder.
Yeah, I was just curious, knowing it's a drier year, and then also knowing we turned out the AWS last year, and that seemed to help trying to anticipate what future operations might look like. So any info?
No, they're still, and so I guess, you know, so far so good. You know, it seems kind of, you know, more normal. You know, those, you know, there's always fish holding down there, and then they just keep kind of just coming in, you know, we haven't had any big days yet. But like kind of like we did last year. But if you're looking at last year, the false counts are running about the same. And then if you look at our trap or our collection at Foster, they're running about the same too for this date on the hatchery adults. So they just maybe this year they seem to be coming in a little you know smaller numbers weekly, but steady versus last year. They started slow, and then we had like several big days around this time. So, but anyway, the numbers are showing, they're proving to basically be kind of equal.
Gotcha. Okay. Any questions or comments for Brett?
Yeah, this is Catherine. I know there was the idea bouncing around to shut off the AWS, and I think there was maybe some hesitation there anyways, wondering where that discussion has gone and if it's a plan to shut the AWS off or leave it going?
Well, I floated that one internally, Catherine, and it's something I'd like to see done. I think that was a real obvious lesson learned from work we've done in the past. But we decided to wait. We were going to try to see if we could get... I know Brett wanted to wait a little bit just based on my conversation with Todd, and then... we were going to try to get some monitoring in place. I don't think that we're going to be able to get the monitoring in place the way we'd want to. But that being said, I still think it's a simple, easy thing to do and should result in some slightly warmer temperatures in that ladder entrance, which seemed to be a problem. And that's those big days that Brett was referencing were right when we turned off the AWS last year. So I think it's something we can do. It doesn't sound like we're not in a critical situation like we were back in 2019 when we didn't have the weir and we had a, you know, much fuller reservoir, much colder water, and we weren't getting the fish at all. it sounds like he's, you know, getting some fish. So it's not a must have, but I think it would be worth doing myself if we want to get some fish a little bit quicker. But it doesn't sound like it's critical either.
So that being said,
I did notice that they had two AWS pumps running, and now they only have one.
They were close to it anyway.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm fine with them being off. I mean, we could try that. Whatever you guys want to do.
Brett, I'm going to be out on site tomorrow and Friday, so hopefully I can run into you and you can chat about it a little bit more on site.
Oh yeah, for sure. Sounds good.
So, Greg and Brett, that being said, if that's something we want to do, just let me know and we can get it moving as fast as we can if it's urgent, but sounds like not critical, but something we should maybe do, so.
Yeah, I think for the team that's still working on this ladder design at Foster, I think it'll just be another data point that we can add, so I think it'd be worth doing. I'll talk with Brett on site about it a little bit more and some of our other staff out there, and then we'll get back to the larger group.
Sounds good. Any other questions or comments for Brett or anyone else on the South St. Anne?
Yeah, this is Ann. I had a question about kind of timing of fish that we see at the falls getting to the South St. Anne. I think Greg Grinbrenner has shared some of that with me for the North St. Anne, but Brett, do you have any sense of if we see like a pulse, there has been some missing counts, but then the ones that have come in were like in the 400 and up for a couple of days last week, the 14, 15, 16. So would you be expecting those, say, in the next couple of days? Is it about a 5 to 10 day time period? Or I really have no idea at South San Diego if you get that reaction to.
Yeah, it takes, 10 days. You know, we always kind of figure 10 days to 2 weeks for them to get up here. And then it's hard to say, because our fish typically don't just run right into the trap or swim right into the trap. You know, we kind of get that buildup at time, you know, below the ladder entrance. So it just, you never kind of know. There's always a school of fish sitting down there, so you don't know if it's new fish coming in, if it's fish that have been sitting there coming in. Hard to say.
Yeah, that's the whole problem, man. This whole thing is disjointed because of the cold water coming out of the ladder. And so you don't have the correlation you would have if that wasn't the case. And so you get artificial run timing back to the facility, just like you did, Old Minto when we weren't spilling there. You know, the fish coming back in August had nothing to do with when they came over the falls. And so we've got that similar situation at Foster. It's a little better in some of the years where it's warmer and the reservoirs are lower, then we get more normative return timing, but it's still way off, still way out of whack from what you should see. So like Brett's describing, yeah, he's seeing some fish, but then they're all balled up down there below. It just doesn't correlate with what the fish are doing in the rest of the basin at the falls until we fix that.
So the weir is a partial fix. I totally see that. It sounds like it's helping. I mean, it's changing the temperature up to a point, but you're saying it can't change what's happening right at the ladder. And if you were going to try to time the AWS and you knew that there were these fish still coming over the falls, in fact, the higher numbers in the per-day count than there had been since a month earlier, that would be just one other piece of data to look for if the AWS is another experiment to run.
Yeah, so there's all these tools we have, right? And some of them are not even tools, they're almost band-aids. At this point, we use the weir. So the weir, when New Foster got built, the weir was always part of that equation. Until 2019, and then in 2019, the weir didn't operate. And as you recall, that was the year that we were really concerned about whether we were even going to get brood. And so it ended up being in August that we provided some weir spill at the last second. Luckily, that resulted in Brett getting his hands on some fish over on the hatchery side and a few in the ladder. So we've had the weir. If it's not going to operate for juveniles, we have that in our back pocket as something that, as a Band-Aid, can be used to help get some adults up, both unmarked and marked fish. If it's not perfect, because as Brett just described, it can help draw the fish up, but it doesn't guarantee that they're going to go into the ladder, because the ladder still has, because it's on from 40, 50 feet down, it still has, you know, cooler temperatures in the ladder. That can be addressed and was addressed a little bit last year when we used the surface spill at Green Peter as the way to warm up the ladder. Long term, the foster team that's working on the redesign of the ladder, the whole idea there is to have a variable draw to the ladder where we can mix water and then get temperatures that will replicate more normative conditions. That will improve that run timing, guaranteed. There's no doubt about it. And so we're just not there yet. We only have these imperfect tools that help, but they're imperfect. And so, you know, the real long-term solution to all of this is what the team of folks is working on right now to, you know, get the consistent temperatures we want to see in the ladder itself.
Yeah, I appreciate that kind of Band-Aid holdover until that happens, which sounds like it's a few years out. But for now, I am interested in if you do the AWS off cycle and have, you said maybe not as much monitoring as you'd like, but as much as you can get while that's happening. That, as you said, more data points are always good for the designers before they go to contracting. And I am happy to hear about the steady returns this year with what it sounds like is just slightly lower differential between the ladder and the river. And that might be, it sounds like what you're saying, Greg, to me, I might be misinterpreting this, is that that's related to what's coming out of Green Peter this year as well. Not intentionally as a spill, but just what elevation is that and how much warmer water there might be in there. I think,
yeah.
I'm not sure if that's what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
slightly warmer naturally.
Well, thanks for that detail. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Any more questions or comments on that subject? Hey, Brett, did you have any sort of update on Riverbend and what's going on?
The only thing I really have is, and I think it's still, Ryan might be able to chime in too, is that they, you know, the contractors have come out and looked at the site. And we've had a couple WebEx meetings and kind of talking about a few specifics, I guess, in the design. And then I think we are planning one more on-site meeting to finalize the plans and the engineering piece of that. And then they'll go ahead and perform the work. So it's definitely in progress.
And then remind me when we think the work's going to be accomplished.
It's looking like it wasn't the first week of September, right?
Yeah, the dates jump around a little bit, Chris. It'll be this summer during the in-water work period, with end of September at the latest.
Thank you.
And then I had one more, I guess, kind of question on my end. You know, we don't have to have a total discussion about it today. I know we've taken up a lot of time on the south so far, but just something to put on the radar. If we continue to have low, this kind of ratio of unmarked fish, where we're getting, you know, say 14 per 1,000 adults, and we had a similar run as last year. My math showing we'd only get about 85 unmarked fish that we put over, and then if you the female male to female ratio stayed the same, that'd be under 20 females up there for the season. So I didn't know if that ratio stays the same, or are we would we look at supplementing that with hatchery fish, because that would kind of definitely change what I kind of need to do and hold, or would we just go with putting wild, continuing to just put, you know, unmarked fish up there only. So anyway, just something to kind of maybe keep our eyes on and something for future discussion.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Brett. Don't really know what to say except what we've done in the past where we passed wild fish. But would also like to hear Nymphs weigh in on what we may or may not want to do this year if we continue to see what we're seeing. So.
Okay, yeah, I'll keep you guys, you know, keep sending out updates and keep everybody informed.
Thank
hey,
you.
Brett and Chris, yeah. This is Bob. I think this is a really important topic, and I just want to make sure, I don't know if this is a task group or something like that, but I think we need to be prepared, and if you look at what's going on in the sub-basin to the north, things seem to be going pretty well with the NORs. We're getting back, and there's the PBT going on. So I think that's a really good point, Brett, and I think it's an important topic we should at least have a forum to discuss in. Chris, does that seem reasonable?
That does seem reasonable, and I would suggest maybe tagging that onto our McKenzie water supply issues task group, just so we don't have to add another meeting, if that works. I know that the pertinent folks that need to attend both are on that same meeting, so that's what I would suggest, unless that doesn't work for folks. All right.
I would, from Nymph's perspective, maybe add Lance to that if he hasn't been part of the McKenzie set of meetings.
Yeah.
If you, Chris, that's a good combo, but if he's not on that, then send that to Lance also, or I can let him know.
Yeah, no, he's on that, so we should be good.
Yeah, and I would just like to say that, you know, the South San Yam and Fall Creek are, you know, there's definitely some similarities there in terms of the two systems, the base flows, et cetera, and just some of the challenges around each of those sites. The nice thing about what we're doing at Fall Creek, we get lots of variability. Last year, we had the highest return we've ever seen. This year, we're doing terrible. But we have clarity around what's going on there in terms of the fish population. And so Brett brings up a great point in that it's absolutely something to consider. When we have the discussion, I hope we think a lot about how much clarity we want around what's actually going on with the status of the wild fish population. And we could get some benefit from putting some hatchery fish up there, but we're also going to cloud what's actually happening with the wild fish population that's really struggling. And so I know we're going to have the discussion. I'd be inclined to just let this thing ride and see where we are, and then we'll have clarity around what we actually need to do. And clearly, that population struggles at times, just like Fall Creek is. So, anyway.
Hey, Greg. This is Ryan. Do you think there's value, Greg, in adding the discussion around Green Peter in the mix?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, obviously the sub-basin as a whole is, you know, I mean, that's what's unique about this sub-basin compared to Fall Creek, is that you have that whole other part of the system that isn't currently contributing in any meaningful way, and it's, you know, the larger part as a portion of the habitat. So, yeah, I think that's you know, obviously there's some huge challenges up there as well with the defunct system. But, yeah, I think that's having a holistic picture, Ryan, I think is certainly a good thing. And it's frustrating. You know, we've had some really good years in unmarked returns to the South Sandhills. But obviously there's some real struggles that we've been having as well.
All right, thanks for that. I think what I'll propose is tacking on this discussion to our other task group, where we speak to McKenzie and the water supply issue, and then after we'll have the South Sandham discussion so that folks can drop off that are more concerned about the McKenzie, and we'll go from there. All right, moving on to the McKenzie. Is that you, Corey?
Yep, I'm here. Things are starting to pick up here a little bit. We're splitting our time. Most of it being spent up at Leeburg, where our fish are located, with our daily and normal fish culture activities, and then finishing the days usually down at McKenzie with maintenance and groundskeeping when we have time. We just finished up treatment for cold water in one of our ponds. Those fish are looking really good. They handled the treatment really well, so we're happy with those guys are at right now. We're getting ponds set up to receive fish from Marion Forks, I believe July 6th. So we're just getting prepped for that right now, as well as setting up the ponds for splitting the fish once we get clipping going. The following week in July 12th, I believe, or somewhere around there. The adult collection has picked up. I think we're at about 230 total that have come into the Leeburg trap. I think all but one have been hatchery fish, so that's been great. We haven't seen anything even interested in coming up the McKenzie fish ladder. We've been doing quite a few repairs to the Leeburg adult holding pond, the trap there, just because it's not really meant for Chinook, so they've been blowing holes in kind of the lattice that is lining the outside of the trap, and we've had a couple that have broken through and been on the ground, so we've been making repairs as we have time and as needed to help contain those Chinook there. We've also been helping out in the mornings when we can with the sorter. We've been running it for a couple hours to just try to get as many fish on the table there as possible. So we started that this week, and that's been going well. So we'll continue that when time allows, which has been pretty much daily right now. So that's kind of what we got going on.
Thank you. Do we think that's a sorter collector is working better than last year?
Just from what I've seen, I would say yes, it's working quite a bit better. Jeff would probably have a better opinion on it, but I believe from what I've seen and actually running it, it seems to be doing a lot better.
All right, thanks. Any questions for Corey? We'll move on to Cougar Fish Facility. Chad, are you on?
Yeah, hey, Chris. So we've seen a little uptick of fish the last week up at Cougar. I think we're shipping about 31 adult Chinook back to the facility. We've been double flow tagging those fish and putting them back down in the river. Of those 31, we've had 15 come back a second time. So those fish have been outplanted. We released them in the forebay of the reservoir due to the rock slide up there blocking access up to our regular release site up above the head of the reservoir there. So I imagine next week we'll probably start switching over to there's a back road around Cougar Reservoir, kind of a rough road. I think we're going to try to start utilizing that road to get up to the really set above the reservoir. So, yeah, that's what I have for fish numbers. Let's see, maintenance activities. Been having ongoing issues with water intrusion on the post-sort pool fill valves. Just kind of an ongoing struggle with water getting in there and damaging the electrical connections and stuff. So I think we got folks kind of looking at a different design, possibly switching over to pneumatic or something. So that's where we are at Cougar. If anyone's got any questions?
Yeah, this is Ann. Is 31 about average for this time of year, Chad, or is that a little bit early?
It's a little low, but this is typically the time of year when the fish numbers start picking up here, so a little early to tell, but yeah, they're looking a little lower.
Thanks. Jeff, I don't know if he's on, but I thought I saw his name. He had mentioned that the high flows coming out that are for the main stem temperature pulsing, temperature reduction through pulsing, might have lower interest, I think he said, might have kept fish downstream cooler. Anybody have any thoughts about that? Jeff, I don't know if you're here.
Yeah, I'm here. We did notice fish movement at Leeburg Dam slowed down when the water came up, and it there was a corresponding drop in the water temperature, which of course that was the idea. So I think it slowed the fish movement. They did pick up a little bit last night from some pretty low numbers the three nights before that.
All right. Any more questions?
This is Kelly. I was just curious if Chad is seeing a similar dip in numbers with those increased releases out of Cougar.
I was on leave last week, so I couldn't tell you for sure, but I couldn't go back on the numbers. But
okay, it's no big deal. I was just curious.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll move on to the Middle Fork, Willamette Hatchery, Dan.
Yeah, as far as Willamette goes, marking is completed. All the fish have been transferred as far as Springers to Dexter and to South San Yam. The Rainbow have all been clipped and are here until we'll ship back a bunch in August to Leeburg. Everything's healthy and on schedule. Dexter's full of fingerlings, and we've been working the trap. We've worked about 1,500 fish so far. Finished up the transfers to South San Yam this morning, as Brett said, and have a few up here at the hatchery. The hatchery water's actually warmer right now than Dexter, so we're kind of waiting to see what this heat wave does as far as moving fish next week. We may just leave them at Dexter instead of bringing them up here. We're running about 63 up here right now, and somewhere between 58 and 60 at Dexter. So kind of wait and see what this weekend holds and go from there as far as transferring adults.
Thanks, Dan. Any questions for Dan?
Yeah, Dan, this is Ann again, wondering about, I think there was an uptick coming out of Lookout Point already last week for those main stem flows, and I think that's going to continue this week, so I'm just curious if you saw any response at all, either temperature or fish activity, and then maybe next month we'll hear again what happens with the coming heat wave and releases.
Yeah, the uptick in the temperature we noticed, but as far as the fish go, they're just slowly trickling in. We had some issues with the trap right at the get-go, so we didn't get to fish it like we normally do. So we had a big slug of fish waiting when we first opened up, and they all came in, and now they're just kind of slowly trickling in. But we're still running about 60s as of this morning at 7 o'clock. We were still 60 at Dexter in the fish ponds. So kind of warm. But still getting a few you fish in every day.
Dan, what was the issue with the fish trap?
We had some cables that had to be replaced. They ended up, I don't remember ever replacing them since I've been here 28 years, so they're getting old, and they had some flat spots in them, and so they were starting to jump and unwind themselves. But we had to have new rope put on a couple of the winches to open up the doors and stuff.
Gotcha. Thanks.
So to do that, we had to dewater it, and we already had fish in there, so we had to push them all back out into the river, and then have the contractors come out and work it, and get new wire put on, and then bring the fish back in.
Thank you. Any other questions for Dan? So, Chad, Fall Creek.
Yes, I've got Doug's numbers here. For Chinook, we've had 74 non-mark adults back at the facility. Those have all been transported above the dam. We've had 24 hatchery Chinook back. For the season for winter steelhead, we've had a total of 40 winter steelhead back, and we've had 15 summer steelhead so far. So that's the fish numbers. Maintenance-wise, I think everything seems to be working pretty well. I'm not aware of any outstanding maintenance issues at Salt Creek.
Any questions? Okay, next item, the bull trout and Oregon chub update. Greg, have anything on that? And you might be muted.
I was talking away. I don't have anything additional. I would give the exact same update I gave during the last meeting, so no changes on that one.
Perfect, yeah. And if we think we need to take this off, we can also do that as well. So just let me know.
Yeah.
Any research updates? Is Rachel still on?
Yes, sorry, I had to find my mute button. I don't have any major updates today. We do have our RM&E meeting tomorrow, and UBC will be giving us a talk on an overview of their Middle Fork structure decision analysis work, and refocusing that work on most critical data gaps. So if you're on the RM&E team, please attend tomorrow, because promises to be a good presentation.
Thanks, Rachel.
Hey, Rachel, do you remember what time that is, Rachel? I have a couple other conflicts, but I'm trying to juggle them. This is Ann. Thanks.
I don't have the agenda in front of me, and I haven't talked to Fenton this week. I believe they're going to try to attend for most, if not all, of the meeting. I couldn't tell you when the meeting is, or the presentation is in that meeting yet. But I can
okay, then. Yeah,
get on and see if Nancy has sent out anything yet.
Yeah, okay. She has. Sorry, I just pulled it up. Looks like it's 9:45 if anybody else is interested. And I hope I will catch a lot of it, but that does kind of overlap with my conflict. But thank you for letting us know.
All right, thanks for that. Moving on to water quality updates. Norm, you have anything?
Just a few things. A lot of you are aware of the poke hole fees that have been going on in the Willamette. Those were ramped up last Friday, Saturday, and advance of the 90-degree temperatures we saw that last weekend. The plan currently is to, and Selena or Catherine can talk more about this, or the regulators who are on, plan is to stay with that around, hovering around 10,000 TFS at Salem through Monday, Tuesday, and reassess Monday based on the forecast. As you know, we're looking at probably temperatures exceeding 100 degrees on Sunday, it looks like right now, and in the 90s, you know, Saturday, above 90 from Saturday through Monday, Tuesday. So, so we're trying to balance out with our, you know, flow needs later in the later season, and storing enough to meet minimum target at that time. So probably plenty of discussion there if we want to get into that. But I'll just mention a couple other things. Detroit, we're still spilling at Detroit, using the spillway. Yaman and I worked on making an adjustment there this last few days ago to just decrease the spill, the amount of spill. As we're getting really close, the lake level is just really skimming off the surface there. We're just above the spillway crest right now, so decrease that ratio a little bit so that we're within the max and minimum temperature targets below Big Cliff. And we may need to make another adjustment here next week. And then I'll let Catherine and Selena talk about Lookout Point a little bit. But that's all I have.
Thanks, Norm. Anything to add, Catherine, on that?
Yeah, it's just regarding the interim measures. So happy to get that update now. Or I don't have the agenda in front of me. Just let me know if you want me to talk now or later.
Yeah, well, I think we'll hold off. We have a couple other items down the road to talk about that.
Sounds good.
Okay, thanks. Norm, you also gave a flow update, but I didn't know if there's anything else, if Mary Karen had anything to add to that or not. All right. Pinniped updates. Kelly, I think?
Thanks, Chris. I think that we're pretty much done for the pinniped updates through the summer, and I checked in with my pinniped guy, and I also checked in with Bob at the start of this meeting. And Bob, do you agree that we can take this off the agenda until September?
Yeah, I think we. Sorry, Kelly.
Oh no, I was just gonna say there's no active trapping, and I'm not sure if there's active monitoring at Willamette Falls.
And so what I think we could do is take it off the agenda, and then I'll update when they show back up here at Bonneville, the sellers show back up here at Bonneville, because I believe the plan is for removals this fall. They sure have been showing back up earlier every year, so, and maybe we get them into July. I'm thinking we should start a pool for over or under 15 July, but I think we keep it off the agenda until we see them come back. Over.
Sounds good. I'll take it off and then add it when we need to. Okay. I don't think we have anyone from EPA on for those updates, but I'll just check. Anyone from EPA? Okay. Moving on to HGMP, the terms and conditions of the BIOP issued in 2019. At the front end, I have the counts that were, we've been sending out specifically with Bennett, it has been Bart with ODFW, and then Lieberg, I know this, collaborative effort with, us posting those counts to the web also. Bob, did you want to talk about Lebanon at all?
Yeah, the group deserves an update on Lebanon. So we're collecting video. I think everybody's tracking. The intent this year was to really try and hone in and perfect our orifice monitoring in case we go with the in-ladder alternative with the Vaki, so we can get, because we're going to have to make sure we get the orifice passage too, because the constraints we have. We have the video. The issue we're facing is it's the budget shortfall, right? I mean, people have seen the cuts that's been happening to production. Well, I mean, we've been facing it internally as well. We're not allowed to backfill positions. So my point is, the person I have doing this had to got pulled off for another project because we weren't able to backfill for that. So we will be processing that video. We're going to try and get a good handle as well on the orifice to notch split in terms of what proportion of Chinook are passing the orifices versus the proportion passing the notch, and process as much notch video as we can. We're a little bit delayed, but we'll be processing this video next week when I get my guy back. Does that make sense? Any questions?
Thanks, Bob. So next item, we've talked a little bit about the Lieberg sorter. I didn't know if there was anything additional to talk about. I know, Jeff, you're on now. Anything to add to what we've discussed?
Sure, I can give an update. Just out of curiosity, what do you have a website where the Lieberg counts are stationed? I went through and tried to pull it up, and I didn't find anything there.
Yeah, no problem. The website link is in all my signatures. And if you'll scroll to the bottom to spawning surveys / fish counts, you should find it. If you have issues, I can direct you to the specific link.
Okay. For an update, we've been running the Lieberg fish sorter every day since June 1, and with the exception of one night. And the initial numbers of fish coming over the sorting table were pretty low, less than 10 per night. We worked with the Eugene Water and Electric Board and NIMS to try and get some better attraction to the left bank ladder. And we made a final flow adjustment, which the most important one was to pull the water off of the left bank roll gate and into the middle roll gate. And EWEB made that adjustment, and all of a sudden we had 25 Chinook come over the sorting table in about a four-hour period. So it really made a huge difference in terms of the fish being able to find that left bank fish ladder entrance. The totals so far that we've had over the table have been 137 Chinook, 8 steelhead, and a bull trout, which we did capture and get a pit tag in. We've had 19 hatchery Chinook over, of which 16 were removed. There were three of them that busted right through the table in a blink of an eye, and we didn't have time to get them. So the total run this year is kind of unknown because we remove the pickets on occasion when we're not going to be able to run the sorter for within a 24-hour period, and so the fish obviously go through and would have to be counted on the window. So but since mid-June or so, we have had 82 fish come over the table, of which 10 were hatchery, 9 of those hatchery were removed. So the PHAS of the fish coming over in the second half of June is about 1%. We're intending to go ahead and run the sorting device daily through the end of the month, and we'll see where we go from there. It depends on how many fish are coming through. I suspect that we'll still have quite a few fish coming through mid July or so. And it's been fabulous to have Corey and the crew there running the sorter in the morning. It really makes a huge difference to be able to leave those pickets in, get the fish that do want to go up in the morning out of there, and then run it again in the evening when the bulk of the run comes through. One other thing is we have been coordinating, Anna Garner with our STEP program has been coordinating volunteers to come up and help on the sorter. They have responded tremendously. We've had a lot of people up there that have helped out watching the fish come through the window and keeping the staff awake at night. So that's my update.
Thanks, Jeff. Any questions on that?
Hey, Jeff, this is Ryan. Just one quick question. Fish coming through in that night shift. Do you have a sense of kind of what the peak timing is for fish moving through the sorter or through the left bank there?
Sure. It is. We keep track of the time that each fish comes through, and that hour between 10 o'clock and 11 has been the hot one pretty much most nights.
Thanks. Hey, Jeff, this is Bob. I just wanted to say thank you for all your work, for ODFW's work on this. This has been logistically challenging, and then the MODFLA contract was delayed. So the work you're doing, getting everybody working towards the same goal, I sincerely appreciate everything you've done on this. Over.
Thanks, Bob.
And the only thing I really have to add is... I did see that contract come across my desk for funding from July through August. I was told it was sent to ODFW, and if it's not already signed and sent back, it's really close. So not sure if you guys know the status, but that's where I know in terms of where it's at.
Chris, Ryan again. We've seen it and processed it. I did my initial process internally. It might still be with ODFW. I can check here in just a minute, but it's moving. I guess I know that. Thanks for your work on that.
Yeah, no problem. I think that's the important thing. Okay. Moving on to the next item in regards to the pedigree work that we're trying to get going. Rachel, I don't know if you have an update as to if that was awarded or not, or is moving forward. She may have dropped off, or she might be on mute. I'll check really quick.
I think we did hear it was awarded, Chris. This is Ann. I can't remember if that was a sent in email, because we haven't had any in-person Wolfdog meetings for a couple of months, but pretty sure that was something he brought to the Army attention. I feel like it was actually in OSU's hands, so I'm thinking we'll just, yeah, because I think I asked if there's any chance we'd get results this year, and that was not considered likely.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
And then one follow-up question I have on that is, given the earlier conversation we had about the South San EM, I don't remember, and I don't think, but I could be wrong, that the South San EM was included. I know, I mean, on the ODFW contract, we collected the samples. We sent them to OSU, but does anyone know whether those were included? The South San EM pedigree is included in that work?
I don't know on that.
Ryan, I was thinking about that earlier, too. Yeah, I feel like you're right that they were not explicitly there because there's, I think it's like they're, we're not mixing fish above there, right? It's all NORs, but that doesn't really explain why they wouldn't, other than that's the part of what we're tracking, how the NORs, HORs are doing relative to each other. Certainly something that if there's changes in passage, it would be helpful to have, though, too, for future reference.
Yeah, and I guess I was just thinking to, you know, to the earlier conversation and Greg's comments about, you know, productivity or whatever's going on, like, I don't know that we know, maybe we know, but we don't really know if those NORs that were passing above Foster are from above Foster. I suspect we sense the productivity below Foster isn't great, but I don't know that we have a really good sense of that.
All right.
Yeah, that's another thing to consider, getting monitoring of that very question.
Okay, we'll move on. Next item, Willamette Valley production contracts. So the first, in regards to Willamette hatcheries and spring Chinook, summer steelhead, I've got all my documentation into our contracting office. There'll definitely be a back and forth between us to get this moving forward. This is a contract that we'll have to award in August. And then we'll talk about this a little bit later, but it's worth mentioning here in that what's really helped us along with our funding issues is going forward with that 6-month base period. Thanks to Ryan for making that suggestion. It helped out a lot from a funding perspective. It's something we've used in the past for just missing deadlines, but again, it helped us with funding this year. So that's all I have on that contract. Any questions on that? Okay. The next contract that I'm also working on, and I have most of the documentation completed, is the next trout production contract, which we will award hopefully this year, and it would be for deliveries starting in 2023. And that's really all I have on that, except it will be hopefully a 3-year contract in terms of 3 seasons of deliveries. Any questions on that one? Okay. Moving on to coordination and memorandums. The first couple are related to our fish passage measures we're implementing. And I will turn it over to Catherine, the first being the Detroit measure, the second being Lookout Point.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Detroit spill operation continues. We're seeing downstream temperatures that are within our targeted area, so that's great. The bad news is that we will be drawing the reservoir down below spill crest much earlier this year than in most years. We all know it's a dry year, so I don't have a solid date of when that's going to happen. I'm not sure if anyone from water management's on the phone, but I believe it's going to be early to mid-July when we will perhaps lose spill lay crest, and then we'll go to all turbine flow and then go from there. Adaptive management for sure. Lookout Point. We've been operating the spillway for downstream fish passage for the last few weeks. We are going to end that operation tomorrow with temperatures at 60 degrees, if not a little more, for a daily average. It's warm, and the temperatures are forecasted to only be warmer this coming weekend. So we'll be done with that interim operation tomorrow. And look at the data that was collected with the screw trap, and then think about what we'll do for next year. Just to note that along with the screw trapping data, we did put a total dissolved gas sensor or hydrolab downstream of Lookout Point spillway to monitor TDG directly below Lookout Point. As you guys know, we have a USGS gauge that monitors TDG further downstream of Dexter, but thought that additional piece of information would be valuable. So we'll go and download that information when this operation commences and provide that data or an update at the next WFLAW meeting. Other than that, Foster, we've talked about it at length already. We're releasing water over the fish weir for adult, for water temperature management and adult migration. And that operation continues, and sounds like next week we'll decide what to do in terms of whether we should have the AWS in the ladder or not. So that's it for me. Anyone have any questions?
Thanks, Catherine.
Sounds like Catherine. Oh, sorry. Catherine, you don't have any screw trap data yet, I'm guessing, or any sign of what's been happening as a result of the operation?
Kramer sent a report earlier this week. Unfortunately, they've been having issues with the screw trap below lookout. And so, you know, I'd really defer to the biologist, you know, tell me if the data is even valuable or trustworthy. Apparently, they're having a lot of debris getting into the screw trap, and that might have been affecting its functionality. I'm not sure if Benton or Dave or anyone is on that could offer any more information than that, but we did get a report. I'm happy to share that with you. I imagine there'll be discussion at the RNE team more about that, but I'm not sure how much faith to put in the data that has been collected thus far.
Thank you. That really helps because I was curious about the, there's two screw traps in that area and just whether that gave them any information when the timing of the turbines versus the spill, because is it a nighttime spill mostly?
That's correct, a nighttime spill. Yeah, and they might even have three traps downstream of lookout. I would have to look, but yeah, some that are, you know, downstream of the powerhouse, and then some, you know, at least one downstream of the spillway. And so that monitoring has been going on. I just don't know how successful it's been, which is a little frustrating, but kind of goes with the territory.
Yeah, gotcha. All right, thanks.
Thanks, Catherine. Any more questions on that? All right, moving on. The next item is in regards to the Fish and Wildlife budget. Memorandum was sent out. Did receive comments from ODFW, much appreciated. Reiterating, going to that 6-month base really saved us for now, but also knowing that our budget issues appear to be ongoing in the next FY. Just something to keep in mind in terms of planning. I don't know if folks have any questions or comments on that one.
Hey, Chris, this is Ryan. I guess just a question on the budget memo, and then somewhat related to your earlier updates on the contracts. Any updates you can give us on, I guess, so in the budget memo, there was two proposed reductions, one for trout for 23 releases and then one for summer steelhead for the Middle Fork. Can you give us any updates on what we should expect to see in the contracts based on the budget situation?
Sure, I'll do my best. So the contract will be almost the same as it was before, or very similar. So there will still be options in there to bid on summer steelhead, just knowing that we don't know what's going to happen with budget. So if we get the budget, there's the option to award that option. So it'll still be in the contract. And I guess the only other thing I have to say is these are just things we're trying to forecast, not knowing if we're going to get additional funding, but also not knowing how bids will come in. Also thinking about the Willamette contract, which is sole source, but also the trout, which is competitive. So it's one of those things you don't really know, but you plan for. And I hope I answered your question, but not sure if I did or not.
Maybe. So will there be clarity on both of those issues, or I guess, both of those issues by the time the contract's awarded September 1st?
Yeah, so any sort of budget update that we get, we will definitely pass on. But as of now, the situation's the same. And that's really all I could speculate on in terms of how we're going to move forward. Again, not knowing the budget situation in the next few months. It could change, it could not. And then from my perspective, you know, I just put the paperwork together. I do my own government estimate. And then it goes out for solicitation. And really that's when the rubber hits the road. So as soon as I know, you'll know.
Okay, thanks.
And I know that's not like tangible info, but that's all I know, so. All right. Next item is in regards to valve replacement in 2023. We talked about this in previous meetings. It's on the agenda just to keep it on the radar. It was coordinated when it was, so we can get it into the contract for planning purposes. Any questions on that one? All right. Blue River, this was a potential outage where we'd observe low flows. However, the last I had heard, this did not occur due to lack of availability of a crane. Chad or Greg, I'm not sure if you have any additional info on this. Thank you. Next item, we talked about the fish weir operation.
Chris?
Oh, sure.
Sorry to interrupt. Could I ask you back you up an item?
Sure.
Or two, actually. I was just looking for notes that I had internally, I'm not sure, as sent to Melissa about the butterfly valve and comments you might have on that. I know we missed your timeline, but since it's not going to happen for another year plus, is it still possible to send comments on that one for Cougar?
Yeah, so definitely possible to send comments. I will have to re-engage those folks to make sure we haven't passed some sort of critical point in regards to contracts and paperwork. But definitely send them, and I will do my best.
Okay, thank you. And it might have more to do with how operations will run around it, timing, et cetera. So I'll get those to you.
Perfect, thank you. Next item is in regards to a unit outage at Dexter for a couple days in July. Deviates from the operations plan, although attraction to Dexter hasn't really been an issue from my experience with my tenure. So comments are due June 28th on that, so feel free to send any if you have them. The next item is in regards to the AWS at Minto and issues we've been having with the screens and cleaning those screens and being able to operate the AWS. Greg Grinbemmer or Greg Taylor, whoever, if you want to expand on that issue, feel free.
Yeah, I can just say they're going to be down again cleaning screens today. Just kind of an ongoing issue for some reason this year, whether it's the flow, the algae, or the fire, or whatever. Just keeping all the AWS and the ladder in criteria has been problematic. I know a group of engineers came down about a week and a half ago and had some ideas. I haven't seen any drawings or any, you know, plans from that, but hopefully they're working on that. We are collecting Chinook weekly. It hasn't been as as many as Brad. We've seen 648 Chinook, 134 of those have been non-marked, and those are being passed up. So we're still seeing fish. We're just running about half the AWS water as designed.
Thanks, Greg. Any questions or comments on that?
Yeah, just to understand that better, what does that do, Greg, when you only have half the water for design? Is it like crowding fish, or I'm just completely in the dark on that?
So the ladder is designed, we run 20 CFS through the pre-sort for the ladder, and then there's 14 AWS gates that add attraction flow with the minimum flow right now to keep the ladder 1 foot above the river level to give you the velocity and volume of water going out of the ladder. For criteria for bringing fish in, we would be running 4 AWS is at 80 CFS. Currently, we only have 2 open. Otherwise, the screen cleaner's going off every 20 minutes. It doesn't seem to be delaying migration. There's not any big group of fish outside the ladder or anything. It's just we're about 40 CFS from ladder going of water going through the ladder as required, I guess, or as designed.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the bottom line, you know, what's happening with the fish. Administratively, and if we're looking at, you know, specific criteria around, well, the drop is related to velocity, and then the percentage of flow in the river versus the ladder as a function of attraction, that's where we end up out of criteria, out of NOAA criteria. So administratively, it can result in us being out of criteria. It doesn't always translate into an issue around the fish attraction piece.
Yeah, thanks. That's helpful. And is that partly related to the number of fish that are trying to go through the ladder at this time of year for this particular year? Just saying, if it was a larger run and lower flow, would that cause a bigger problem if that AWS wasn't working?
Well, AWSs are odd. I'll just say that. The fish didn't always get the memo about the criteria, right? I mean, they, like Mark Wade used to tell me, fish do what they want. And so they don't always, you know, absolutely, you know, attraction is important. But when you have a barrier dam and nowhere else for those fish to go, you know, you can imagine how that system might work different than others. Where fish can bypass. So like McKenzie Hatchery, obviously, when they have little to nothing coming out of there, that's a huge problem. At a barrier dam like Minto, the AWS is probably less important, you know, similar to, say, like a Dexter fish facility, same way. There's not a lot of AWS there. There's some. But, yeah, I don't know that. We want to operate ladder to the design specifications, and we want to operate the ladder to criteria. That's sort of the bottom line. I don't know that we've done enough to go back and really rigorously look at how the fish would actually respond if we tweak some things there in terms of the AWS.
And I think with the new ladder placement of the new Minto, it helps a ton. I think if we didn't have the ladder flow at the old Minto where they had to come across a, you know, an eddy or something, it might have caused problems with where the ladder entrance is currently located right off the you know, the barrier dam. Like I said, I haven't seen any fish backing up behind it.
But we want to get a result.
That really helps.
All right, thanks for that. Moving on to task group / PDT updates. The first item being Willamette Valley operational fish passage measures. Catherine, I know you talked a little bit about what we're doing. I didn't know if you wanted to speak any more as to where we are with the PDT or future measures.
Yeah, I think I've reported everything I wanted to. I mean, the team continues to, you know, plan for you know, the next set of measures that are headed our way, and just document conditions that we've observed so far. We will be putting together an annual report, so trying to lean out on that so that we can meet the deadline of having that finalized by the end of the calendar year. But that's essentially it. Thanks.
Hey, Catherine, sorry to be a pest on this, but you guys are also working on an EA for Cougar to have a modified operation possibly by next spring, depending on the EA time.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And we're continuing to work on the EA for both Cougar and Fall Creek so that we have that NEPA coverage and can implement in 22.
All right.
Thanks. Just curious if anything that is being learned this year from the screw traps is there will impact what you put into the EA.
Sorry, I said goodbye to Stanley right when you were asking another question. Yeah. Yes, we'll definitely use any information that we've you know, gained this year to inform that EA. You know. And, I haven't seen anything or heard anything yet that's going to change, you know, the plans that we have in place to either implement 16 or 17. But certainly if we see something of concern or where we, you know, may want to modify the, you know, our plan, we'll make sure and get with everyone and talk that through with the region.
Thank you.
Anything else on that, PDT? All right. The next three are PDTs that are hatchery related. Due to the funding issues we've had, these have been shelved for now. There are requests for funding in place. But again, we're struggling just to even fund our operations. Hopefully things turn around in the next year or two. Any questions on those? All right. I'll ask the fish operations plan. Again, it's been posted since March. Also, a reminder that we can change the plan at any time. The process is just sending in a change form or sending me an email. And we can talk about it at any of our monthly meetings. Other than that, that's
all. Chris, this is Kat.
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, Chris. I do have a question, I guess, on those hatchery PDTs. I get it. The budget stinks, and it doesn't look like there's reason to be too optimistic in the near term. Given that, are there plans to maybe address some of those issues in a modified way, just kind of like a holding pattern, you know, like, is there something that's going to occur? Is it just going to be like, okay, these are just, nothing's going to happen, or we're revising our plans to do some minimum to maintain?
So, no, that's a good question, and I will do my best to answer, but may not be satisfactory. So, whenever we have a shortfall, we put in a request for funds, unfunded requirements that we need to address. In regards to how we go about future, specifically in terms of what the priorities are, and I'm primarily thinking about McKenzie Hatchery being a high priority. That's kind of where my focus has been and Tammy's focus has been in regards to getting funding, but also trying to figure out planning in the near term and then also longer term. But again, it is really tricky without funding, and that's kind of where we're at. It's definitely on the radar, especially for what's going on the McKenzie River. So not sure if that answer was adequate, but that's all I have.
Sure, no, that's fair, and I get that. I was just curious if, you know, given the situation, if there is a plan B. Thank you.
Yeah, so I guess...
And maybe just to...
Go ahead, Ryan.
Curious, maybe, sorry to interrupt you, just a quick follow-up on Kelly's point, too, although maybe a little bit different angle, this isn't pointed, so don't take it that way, please. We're all in it together, but I think if we can develop a path forward, or at least a straw man of a path forward, I think ODFW and others partners can help engage and carry the message so it's not just the core working on the funding piece alone.
Yeah, Ryan, that totally makes sense, and I think it's definitely something we need to talk about in regards to leveraging your agency, our agency, whoever can help in this process. Not totally sure how to navigate it, and definitely welcome to suggestions. And it might be something we can talk about at our July 1st meeting when we discuss specifically McKinsey Hatchery.
Sounds good.
Any other questions or comments on that? All right. I mentioned the fish operations plan. There are a few changes I need to make, one being adding the new drawing for Fall Creek Fish Facility. Other than that, not a whole lot, but again, we can make changes at any time, and it's posted on the website, listed in the agenda. And with that, I'll open it up to any final questions or comments before closing out. All right. Thanks, everyone. Good discussion, and we'll chat next month. Thanks.